You know, in talking to you about different things, trying to explain things as we go along, it's like I said the other night under the tent. I made mention to the people that we serve God with the mind. A lot of religious people in the world today, but they're not serving God. Their minds are on the world, and their minds are on themselves, and their minds are on positions in the world, and they're looking for all kind of things. And they're not serving God, though they're religious and they belong to religious bodies. They know nothing of God, nor service to God. You serve God with your mind. God is the Spirit. And the Bible said you ought to meditate in His laws day and night, to the extent that you bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And the mind is a very unusual thing. You think of men like Einstein, the brilliance of their mind. Great, mighty, brilliant men. You know, you never know by looking at an individual what is in their mind. You don't know what kind of individual they are, nor how great that they are in their understanding. Their minds may expand greatly. Their thinking may be great and mighty. It may go a long, long ways into different directions of life. Some even move into infinity. Their minds, it depends on the mind. The Bible said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." We're looking for the great, mighty mind, the great mind of God. Einstein was great. He had a great mind. But he was like a little baby compared to Jesus. Jesus' mind is so great and so mighty, and he wants to instill it within the heart of mankind. I say this so often, your brain is in your head, but your mind is in your heart. And the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. The mind is something that's outstanding, to say the least. And as I say, you never know what's in a man's mind. It's like Paul the Apostle. He had such a great mind that he could go into the third heaven, move up into the third heaven. According to a man's mind, according to a man's thinking ability, according to a man's understanding, he has great power, great strength. He has the ability to preserve his life, his youth, his health. He has the power to lay down his life and take his life back up. He has power over death. He has power over sickness. He has power over poverty, according to his mind, according to his understanding. Paul used the terms, "I would that you were spiritual," he said, speaking of the great mind of God. He said that you might have the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this wonderful thing of God, the mighty revelation of the Son of God. I say again that for many years preaching the gospel, I never knew there was such a thing as the revelation of the Son of God. I did not know that the Spirit of the living God could actually reveal things to you as a human being, that you could communicate with God Almighty, and that God would communicate with you and speak to your mind and reveal great and mighty things. I ran across the scripture where he said, "Ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things that ye know not." And I didn't realize that we had this great privilege, and that our life could be so exciting, and that serving God was not just some church ritualistics, or going to church and getting worn out with what the preacher had to say, or sitting on the benches wishing that I'd have stayed home. You know, God isn't like that. I didn't know that. I thought that's all there was to church. I didn't know there was anything beyond that. But folks, I come to understand something. I come to understand that serving God is exciting, and serving God is joy and peace. And I came to realize that service to God brings a greater reward than anything else in all of the world. And that being a child of God means to be an eternal creature with eternal life and eternal wealth and eternal power. And I come to understand that being a Christian means being a son of God. Being a son of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And I came into many wonderful, exciting things. I came into the revelation of Jesus Christ. I came to understand all things in Christ. Somebody says, oh my God, Brother Pike, do you really believe that with all of my heart? The Bible said, and ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. And I don't think anybody could say that Jesus didn't know all things. And Jesus said, all that my Father hath made known unto me, I have made known unto you. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So I come to understand through Christ Jesus all things. You know, it is such an exciting thing. It's such a wonderful thing. Because in your lifetime, so many hundreds and thousands of things go through your mind. And you don't understand. And you want to know. And you desire. And then when you come to know Jesus, there is nothing that passes through but what you understand. You understand it. Whether it's in the natural, you understand it. Whether it's in the spiritual, you understand it. Whether it has to do with human physics or the world of chemistry, you understand it. God makes you to understand all things. So then it's so wonderful to come into the mind of God and into that wonderful world. When you mess with the mind, that's a dangerous thing. God doesn't like for people to mess with a human mind. You mess up a human mind, you've messed up a life. You've messed up an eternal thing. And you messing with that mind, you don't realize that that is an eternal thing that you're messing with. That somewhere in eternity, either good or bad, that thing is going to continue on without end. And God is stirred in His wrath when people probe at somebody and mess with their mind. When a man messes with a woman's mind to seduce her, God will destroy him when he tries to steal her virtues. And when a woman messes with a man's mind as to seduce him, God will be stirred up in His anger to destroy her. He said, I will destroy them that destroy the earth. Whether it's taking away the morals or taking away the virtues, or whether it's men that's conniving in their minds or men with inventions that blow the earth apart, whatever it might be, God said, I'm angry with those people. I'm angry with the wicked every day. I'll pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. You think I'm altogether such as one as you, he said, but someday I'll meet you face to face as a bear that's been robbed of her cubs, and I'll tear you into pieces. So then to mess with the mind is a very dangerous thing. For me to get up here as a minister and then to start dealing with the mind, the human mind, and talking with the mind, and trying to program the mind and capture the interest of the mind, it is a very dangerous thing. It is dangerous for me. It is dangerous to you. And it puts me in the fear of God, because God could destroy me that quick. Many hundreds and thousands of people that call themselves preachers are messing with the human mind by TV, by television, by radio, by publications, by indoctrination, by preaching, by making communication. They're messing with the human mind, and they've literally messed the human mind up. Then there's millions of people that are messing with dope, and they're messing with ideology, and they're messing around with witchcraft. And many people in the legislative offices of today keep messing with the human mind and bringing oppression on the human mind and trying to control the human mind. See, this really disturbs God. There should not be but one power that controls the human mind, and that is the power that made it, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Holy Spirit. It's the only one that understands the destination of man and understands the mind of man and understands the condition of man and understands the need of mankind. But see, we all, as human beings, we like to magnify ourselves, lift ourselves up, make ourselves to be something that we are not. Not giving place to God to take His creature and control His creature. And every man feels like he has the answer. And every woman feels like they have the answer. But you know, I like that little saying, Christ is the answer. There is only one answer, and that is God. And if I speak of God or let God speak through me, that is the answer. And if it is the answer, then it will found itself upon the foundation of the Word of God. The Bible said, other foundations can no man lay except that which is laid by Christ. And Christ came and laid foundations that was called the 12 apostolic leaders, Peter, Paul, James, and the others. And He took those apostolic leaders and He put their names in the foundation of the new city. And He called this a city with foundations. And when Abraham spoke of it, he was looking for that city. And when somebody spoke of Abraham, they said, and he searched for a city that hath foundations. The foundations of the 12 apostolic leaders that Jesus chose while He was here in this world. He made them the foundation of the church. And He is building upon that foundation. Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. He received the revelation of Jesus Christ and was caught up into the third heaven. And he spoke of the church as being lively stones that are to be built upon the foundation of the apostolic leaders. And he warned the preachers, said, take heed how that you build, for the day shall try your works. He said, don't try to build hay and stubble upon this foundation. So then we have a foundation, even the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word came forth, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. And we beheld it as of the only begotten of the Father, as full of grace and full of truth. So then this great wonderful Christ, this great wonderful Jesus, this great, wonderful Son of God, today, though He isn't here as a natural body, other than the fact the Bible said the church is bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, He's not here as a natural body, but we're left in His stead. The Bible said, beseeching the world that they should be reconciled unto God as ambassadors of Christ, we speak. So then we find ourselves in a position to where we are called of God. And when we go to speak, if we're really called of God, the Bible said it's not you speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within you, that ye are the temples of God, and God speaks from within you, and that all of the world should keep silent. And I will make all of the world come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. For God, even the great God of Spirit, shall suddenly return into His temple, whose temple ye are, to be glorified within His saints, to speak from within you, to speak from within me, and to speak to the masses of the world. So then, brethren, sisters, you can see your calling, how great and mighty it is. And you can see who you are and what you are and what God is expecting of you. So every time I come here to talk to you, I consider the fact that I am dealing with your mind. And I must be very careful, because I could cause you to be lost. I could cause you to be eternally doomed and damned. I could cause myself to be eternally doomed and damned. And so I come very cautiously. I come very carefully. A physician that's going to perform an operation, he has to come very carefully He has to be very skillful, because when he makes an incision, he doesn't want to be a butcher. He doesn't want to cut a place twice as big as necessary. So he comes very cautiously. He's studied many years. He's given himself to practice. And he's going to operate on you, and it's a matter of his skill, of his ability, as to whether you're going to survive or whether you're going to live or whatever. I know of cases of minor operations where people died from the minor operations. They should have survived without any problem. I know of severe cases of operations where people should have died, but they survived. They survived. I know you take minor cases where people should have survived, they died because of the butchers. There's people that ordinarily should have died because of the severeness of their problem, but because of the skillfulness of that great man, they survived. So I'm dealing with your mind, and I'm very aware of the fact that I'm dealing with your mind. Some people, they're not very great in their minds. Their worlds are not very great because they've never exercised their senses to that extent. They've never applied themselves to try to learn anything or know anything or to find out anything. As a matter of fact, some of them are so closed up in their minds that no one ever has a chance to penetrate, to tell them anything or explain to them anything. So they're caught in that little mind that is their world. Remember, you are a sovereignty. Your mind is your world. According to the size of your mind, so is your world. If your mind is expansive, then your world is great and expansive. And you are, as we say so often, the main player of the drama. You are the individual that's king of the castle. You are the person that's king in your life. It doesn't matter how many things go on around you. It doesn't matter how many worlds there is. It doesn't matter how many people there is or how great they are. You are the king of your world. You're on the throne in your world. You make the decisions in your world. Your world expands to the greatness as to whatever you will allow your mind to absorb or to advance unto. And some people are very minute in their mind. They're very small. They never exercise their minds. They eat, they drink, they're gullible. They laugh, they joke, they go to some kind of frolics of the world and some kind of entertainment, and that's just how small they are. But there are other people that look beyond the thrill of human senses. And they go beyond that, and they go into another world, and they go into other areas of life. And they consider those kind of things. For instance, let's just take a natural thought here. If you're sitting here tonight, if you've ever been into California, and you've ever went around through California, like Brother Lynn, for instance, he just has come from Alaska. Brother Taylor, speaking of coming from the Holy Land. You know, if you've ever browsed about in California, then you've got that much understanding of California. If you've ever been in Alaska, you've got that much understanding of Alaska. You can sit here and you can go into Alaska in your mind and in your world, and you can enjoy things there that others could not do because they've never been exposed to that. How do you understand what I'm saying? Those that went to the moon, those astronauts that explored that area, they can live in something that you can't live in. That one that got out and walked on the moon, he can sit down here on the earth and he can experience that great thing because that's part of his world. Isn't that right? People go to school to make their world bigger. Elementary school, and then they go right on into the high schools, and they go right on into college, and they continue their studies because they're broadening their world. Their world is getting bigger and bigger and broader, like we said of Einstein. Now, but has it ever occurred to you that you can do the same thing by going into heaven? And how much more real it is to be able to go into heaven going into heaven. I wish we had time to really break things down from time to time to tell you about this wonderful revelation of entering into the other world. If you've never entered into it, then you've been robbed. In this world, men take dope. Women take dope. They do that so they'll hallucinate, which is a crazy, foolish, wild thing to do. They're wrecking their nerves. They're wrecking their brain. They're fixing their bodies to where the little children can be born as freaks. But nevertheless, they do that to get away from their problems and to get loose in their body, get loose in their spirit, get loose in their mind where everything goes, to where they can just get what they call the fullness of life. And they hallucinate. They don't really go anywhere. They just hallucinate and their brain gets out of order. And all of the nerves get out of order and that goes into a crazy state of ecstasy. And they get caught in that thing, and after a while they wear their nerves down to where they can't recuperate, or they may become a vegetable, as it is said, or they get themselves in such a place to where they have flashbacks even if they get out of that kind of doing. But all of that is a type. That is a type of sons and daughters of God. Everything in the spiritual world has to have a type. Paul said all of the invisible things of God, from the creation of the world, from the beginning of creation, is clearly understood by the things that do appear, the types that's in the earth. They're understood by these things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. No need to fuss about anything. Everything is clearly understood if you have the mind of Christ, if you have the mind of understanding, and you can enter through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can go into those heavenly places. The Bible speaks of the church saying that they are made to sit together in heavenly places. Another scripture says, "And ye are not of this world, for I have chosen you out of this world. And I have hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of the restoration of all things." You know, I could prove that tonight. If we had time, I could go into the Bible and positively prove that you're not in this world when you're born again. All right. So then I am dealing with your mind. I am programming your mind. And no matter how much you try to shake it out, it's going to be there. If somebody talks with you, you might say, "I don't pay any attention to it." But there ain't no way that you can shake it out. Once you reflect what is being said, once you hear it, it finds a lodging place. And scientists say that you never forget those things. So see, your world is being built. If you listen to somebody that puts stuff into you when they're dumping their garbage, then you become a garbage can. If you listen to the right thing, then you can become a great container for God and for wonderful things. And every thought that you take into your heart and into your life, it's going to determine whether or not you have health, whether or not you have long life, whether or not you're going to have eternal securities, whether or not you're going to be able to help others. Every thought that is put into your mind finds a lodging place. So if somebody came up to Brother Taylor, me, Brother Tony, Brother Larry, or some of them, and that individual said, "God, reveal to me that you're going to die, and it's going to be pretty soon." I don't care how much we tried to shake it out. We'd say, "There ain't nothing to that. I ain't going to believe that. I ain't going to have that." But something would keep pounding. What if it's true? What if it's true? What if it's true? See, and on, and especially if it is a preacher that told you that. And if it's a preacher of reputation to the extent you know that they're really talking to God. Especially if it happens to be a Christian that told you that, and you believe that they really love the Lord. See, like when we was in California, preaching there in California, I remember there at a certain place, Betty and I was living in a home there, and next door, this little sinner girl, I didn't even know her. She was just next door. The kids had got acquainted with her, all the children. And she told my Cynthia, said, I had a dream. And said, in the dream, you broke your arm. Oh, Cindy, she didn't believe that. You know, I said, well, you might ought to listen to that. You can't ever tell. The rain is on the unjust, remember? And I said, well, you might not be able to, you know, you ought to listen. So, Cynthia, she didn't listen. She grabbed her skateboard and out she went, and down she went, and she popped her arm half in two. That is, she broke the bone right half in two. You understand what I'm saying? This little girl had went into another world. She, being a child, God not requiring as much out of her, God could deal with her like little Samuel when he was dedicated to the Lord. And the rain being on the just and the unjust, the sanctification came into her mind. And while she was asleep, her body was not active toward the gullible things of life, and her little spirit slipped out into another world. And it was the world of God, and it was the world of truth. And as Joseph had his dreams and they came to pass, as Solomon had the dreams and it came to pass, this little girl, she had her dream and it came to pass. Brother Richard sitting back here, one of our black brothers, right after we first came here, he said, I had a dream. Said, in a dream, said, you put a big archway out here. Couldn't tell just exactly what it was. It came to pass. It stands out there now, little Bethlehem. Others have had dreams. Others have had visions. See, you have three kind of minds that's dealing with you. Remember that. I preached to you a number of times about the minds. There is three kind of minds that deal with you. One of them is a God mind. One of them is a human mind. And the other is a satanic mind, which is an angelic mind. These minds deal with you. And the thing that we've got to be in remembrance of is that there's only one brain for these three minds to use. So all of these minds, all of these spirits, all of these lives, they deal with you by using your brain. And at all times, one of those minds is using your brain, just like you'd use a typewriter, just like a computer. And one of those minds is computerizing your understanding and bringing to you a form of life. Whether it is a satanic rejected life of darkness and ignorance that turns you off to God, as we say, or whether it is a human mind of necessity that tells you that if you don't work, neither shall you eat, or whether it is a God mind that tells you that there is another world and that you're headed for death because of sin and you're going to have to make contact with God to be able to have those eternal securities. Whichever mind it is, it's using your brain. And you're being built up into something. And your nerve system is being used for something. And you're being computerized for something. There are people that are for one level of life, one heaven. There are people for another level of life, another heaven. There are people for another level of life, another heaven. There are creatures that are made to live in the water. There are creatures that are made to live according to oxygen. There are those that are made to live by spirit without the use of oxygen. There are in all three worlds different kinds of people. And God has called you for one of those worlds. As to what you belong to, only your deeds can show it. The Bible said that a man is known, or a child is known, by his doings, by his deeds. If he fishes, he's a fisherman. If he hunts, he's a hunter. If he's a gullible person for sports and frolics, and that's what he is. If he's a conservative person, as with his time and his thinking to put it to work for some benefit to humanity, maybe a doctor, a lawyer, or maybe a preacher, whatever, that's the kind of person he is. Some people are spendthrifts. They spend all they have. They never are able to get on their feet, as we say.
They have no system of life. That's the kind of person they are. And then there are people that are very conservative, very diligent, very systematic. And those people get along real well in life. And on we could go, folks. And on we could go. But I just want you to think a little bit along those lines. And when I read this, I want you to think about this individual as to what kind of mind he had. Think of him, Jesus. Think of him. What kind of mind did he have? What kind of world was he exposed to? And they said, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that he commandeth the winds and he commandeth the sea and they do obey him? He speaks to the blind and they see, and he speaks to the deaf and they hear. What kind of mind has he got? What manner of man is this? Let's read this. Over in Matthew's, over in the 27th chapter, it says, and as they came out, the 32nd verse, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross, that is Jesus' cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, of a skull, hadn't been but a few days, and numbers of you that was over in Israel saw this, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Some of you walked down Dolorosa, where he dragged the cross, where he fell beneath the load. And they've got the times numbered as to stations. When they gave him the vine guard, he would not drink it, mingled with gall. He would not drink it. And they crucified him. They took his garments. They gambled over it. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the 6th hour there was darkness over all the land unto the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with the vine gall and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, I want you to think here just for a minute now. All of us are headed somewhere. All of us are headed somewhere. All of us have a plan. All of us have a destination. Some of us are predestinated because of those things that we know of God and servitude to God. By this, predestinated unto life and unto joy. Some are predestinated unto eternal damnation and doom because God foresaw that they would not serve Him. They would not love Him. They would not listen when this day of their birth came and the hour of their pilgrimage in the earth. He knew that they would not listen. Paul preached the gospel to them, and the Bible said as many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believed, and the rest of them would not hear. They went their way, and they troubled Paul. All of us are human beings. All of us are headed somewhere, and the place where we're all headed is into a hole. There's going to be a hole dug. They're going to dig a 6-foot hole. And you're going to be placed in the hole. Somebody will still be living if Jesus tarries. And they'll walk up to your coffin, to your casket. And they're going to look in on your dead face. Because you're headed for a hole. Every person is headed for a hole. The hundreds and millions of people that's gone by already passed over the scene. They found their hole in the ground, and only few escaped it, like Enoch, that was translated by faith because he believed the word of God. He was translated by faith that he should not see death. And people like Moses and Elijah that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration in glory with Jesus. Otherwise, men die. Men go into the ground. They dig holes for them. They put them in the dirt, and then they throw the dirt in on top of them. People, all mankind, great dignitaries, entertainers, great entertainers like Elvis Presley and many others on the scene today. You can't find them tomorrow. They're stirring the hearts of millions of people across the world. And all of a sudden, they're gone. They're programming man's mind. They are an instrument either of God or of Lucifer. And they are programming men's mind. Like Jesus said concerning some of the Pharisees, some of those that warred against Him. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil." He said, "That's what you are." He said, "You hinder me and you find fault with me. I'm of my father, my heavenly father. But ye are of your father the devil, and his deeds and his lust you're going to practice. And you're going to do the things that hinder me and that hinder his kingdom." Paul said, "I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered me." I have people here at Bethlehem that hinder me constantly, over a period of years. They continue to hinder. No matter what good I do for them, they still hinder. There's preachers all around the world. They have people to hinder them. The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves before God in the day of Job, that Satan came also. That is, the sons of Satan came also. The day the blood of Jesus is on the seat of atonement, so the wrath of God won't destroy the wicked. For he said, "It's not my will that the wicked should perish, but repent of their sins and have everlasting life." So he gives a time for all men to repent of their sins. He puts the blood on the seat of atonement, loving us while we're yet in our sins so much that he comes in a human form to die for us. The love of God constraining us, Paul said. Being drawn to God, the Bible said, "And surely the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance." So then, hundreds of people, like Elvis, different entertainers, many, many entertainers that's on TV today, that's in the movies, sports leaders, great ball players, great money men, dignitaries that's in the legislative offices of life, all of these great men, they're programming people's mind. They're either sent by God or they're sent by Lucifer. You've got to remember that through the fall of Adam, that this world is in the control of the devil. A lot of people don't want to believe that. They say God's got control of this world. But this world is in the control of the devil, and the Bible said that Lucifer is the prince of the world. God gave it to Adam, but through his weakness as to the woman, it was lost, and Satan has it, and Satan will continue with it until we reach the place that Revelation 12 speaks of. And there in Revelation 12, when the great war takes place in heaven, and Michael stands for his people, Lucifer is cast out of the spirit, and he has to personify himself and take a natural office in this world as Antichrist. It is at that time that the Bible declares that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and they shall reign forever and ever. And it isn't until that time that God has control of the world anymore. So then you and I are Christians. We are children of God. We are sons of light. The Bible speaks of the sons of light and the sons of darkness. Paul was in darkness, though he studied at the feet of Gamaliel, though he belonged to the Sanhedrin of that time, though he had much study through his lifetime, he was still blind. He was in darkness. He was caught in the darkness. He couldn't understand. He persecuted and wasted the church of the living God, thinking that he was doing right, religious. The Bible said, and in the last days they'll kill you, and they'll think that they are doing God a service. They are religious. So then, Paul had to have the bright light from heaven as he wandered on his way to Damascus. The bright light came, and then the scales was revealed to Paul that was over his eyes. And he had to go down to the street called Straight to get the scales off of his eyes, and had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and wash away his sins. For the voice said to Paul on the way to Damascus, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul said, who art thou, O Lord? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth that you persecute, Paul. Go down to the street called Straight, and the man will tell you what to do. See, Paul, all of a sudden, he made contact with that other world. Have you ever made contact with that other world? I've made contact with that other world. I remember making contact with that world when I was in Florida, and that angel of God standing there before me. I made contact with that world. Have you ever made contact with that world? You need to make contact with that world. Somebody says, Brother Pike, I've never made contact with the other world. I want you to know that every person somewhere has made contact with the other world. Maybe not the world of God, maybe not the world of light, but you've made contact with demons, and you've made contact with devils, and you're fellowshipping devils and demons. You've made contact with that other world. You've made that contact with the other world. So then, somewhere, somehow, you've made contact with the other world. See, maybe with the wrong place, to the wrong people. See, your mind, it is your mind. Somehow your mind got out. Even when you sleep, sometimes those three minds work while you are asleep, while your physical strength is gone, while you are physically depleted, then these spirits move in and they begin to program your mind and they begin to speak to your mind. And Job said, while deep sleep is upon a man, God programs his mind. He said, I looked and I saw, and the hair stood up on my body. See, Daniel said, I dreamed, and the vision of my head troubled me. Sometimes you will dream, it will be from the devil. Sometimes you will dream, it will be from God. Sometimes a hideous nightmare from the devil. Sometimes a beautiful thing from God, and an awakening to tell you of your wrongs, that will warn you of the death of your loved ones. Sometimes you will just have a dream of necessity. There's a dream that comes from the multitude of business, being pressed of necessity. It is a dream, the Bible says, that comes from multitude of business. It is your spirit. And then there is the satanic spirit that brings a dream. And the Bible speaks of this saying, and the filthy dreamers. And then there is a dream that comes from God. Daniel said, and the vision troubled my head. I had a vision of the head. It was a vision that God had given him. And it was a heavenly thing. As it was with Daniel, so it was with Joseph. God used little Samuel, just a little Samuel, a little fellow. God used him. God spoke to him in a vision. And God, as we say, programmed his mind. These things are working. But see, you don't have to go to sleep. You don't have to go to sleep. You can move into that world without that. If you're willing to fast a little bit, like Brother Ron back here, just finished 14 days of fasting, didn't eat anything in 14 days. We returned from Israel, he ate. It was after 14 days that Paul slipped into the other world. See, through prayer and through fasting, your body becomes charged with the virtues of God, activated with the wonderful knowledge of God. See, and you find yourself in a different world altogether. You begin to cause the human senses to subside as to their activeness, as to that which is in life. And the inner man begins to get control of your five senses. And as it does, all of a sudden you begin to transformate in your mind. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you begin to transform within your mind. And all of a sudden you find yourself going into the heavenly places. Paul said, whether in my body or in the body or out of the body, he said, I can't tell. He said, but I know of such a one that was caught up into the third heaven and heard things that was not permitted for him to speak. What a wonderful venture. Venturing out into faith. Going out into another world. Learning about heaven and the streets of God. Learning about that ever-expanding eternity. Oh, what riches. Oh, what goodness. What grace God has given to us that we can enter into that realm and we don't have to go around making believe, acting like we're some spiritual person when we're not. You know, over there when Paul, he was preaching and this bewitching one, he went about trying to tell everybody that he was real spiritual. He had some kind of mystic power. And he would turn the deputy and some of them away from faith in the word of God until he got Paul all upset. And about that time, Paul walked out and Paul brought forth the word of God and Paul showed him what real power was and showed him that he didn't have to go around making believe that there's real true prophets in the earth and there's real true people that have gifts of the Spirit in the earth. And there's people that walk in the Spirit. There are people that have the mystic power of God that can deliver you from your afflictions or help you in the time of need. Or direct your mind to program your thoughts to where you can find your way when you've got problems, when you're in misery. God has done this. He's brought people out of the grave. He's brought people out of the insane asylum. He's brought people out of the different things around the earth. As a matter of fact, I think of Brother Richard the Jew back here, having the problems that he did, mentally collapsed, mentally gone, everything gone, weird in the speech, weird in the thoughts, everything gone, and them in the medical world not being able to help him, his father spending much money on him, not being able to help him, like it was said of the woman in the Bible. She spent all of her living on the physicians, but was none the better, rather grew worse. Until one day she met Jesus. One day, Brother Richard met Jesus and he came to know Jesus and he came to believe in Jesus. Today, he's sound, he's healthy, he's whole. One of the most intelligent people in Bethlehem. He has a wife, he has a family, he makes a living. He was with us over in Israel and done a great work while we was there among those people in communicating and going out day and night among those Hebrews and among the people and passing out tracts and witnessing. Why? Because he met Jesus. He met Jesus. See, what happened to Richard before? The devil had messed with his mind. Educators had messed with his mind. He'd been in school. He'd been in college. He was going the way of the world. They'd messed with his mind. They had his mind messed up. But folks, God can straighten out your mind. Remember that. God can give you peace when nobody else can't give you peace. Somebody say praise the Lord. So then, here is a man. He's dying. Why is he dying? He doesn't have to die. He doesn't have to die. He said, no man can take my life. I give my life. I lay my life down. What kind of mind is that? What's wrong with you? Why, Jesus, you're only about 33 years old. And here you are with everything ahead of you. You, nay, Peter said, we won't have nothing like that. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. See, a mind had got Peter. There was a mind that was trying to work through Peter to cause Jesus to have self-pity. Should Jesus have self-pity at that time? Should Jesus refuse to go to Calvary? Then you and I could not have been saved. He said, for this cause came I into the world to witness of the truth. What kind of mind was this? The Bible said, equip yourselves with a mind to suffer. Here is a mind to suffer. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. Here is Paul. Paul said, couldn't I lead about a wife? Couldn't I lead about a sister? But the mind that was in Paul, the mind to do something for God, the mind to sacrifice, the mind to turn away from the things of the world as pertaining to his abilities, his talents, as to what he could be in the world. Paul could have been mighty in the world. He was so well learned, had such a reputation, that even the great governors and the dignitaries, when they talked to Paul, they said, Paul, you've gone crazy. Much learning has made thee mad, Paul. Knowing his reputation. And so it was with Jesus. What kind of mind was there? It was a mind to sacrifice. It was a mind to suffer. It was a mind to follow after the things of God. Now don't be alarmed. The Lord said to my mind when they sat down, said, say what you will, son. They're going to get up and leave. He said, just go ahead and say what you will. The mind, back to the mind. But nevertheless, they listened. God got something in. He put something there that'll never be taken out. Never. So then, what kind of man was this? A mind to suffer. A mind that's willing to give up the world. A mind that's willing to give up the things of the world. Everybody isn't going to do it. Everybody isn't going to do it. Many people will never do it. They'll never give up that body that they've got. They'll never surrender it to Calvary. They'll never surrender it to God. Many people, the Bible said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Many people in their youth, they won't remember God in their youth. They're not going to surrender up their body. They're going to use that body for athletic purposes. They're going to use that body to eat and drink till the belly develops cancer. They're going to use that body for lust, to build up that body so it can be admired by the people of the world. For the Bible said, Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. Save us the things that be of the flesh. And many preachers, sad to say, have programmed their minds to eat, drink, and be merry. Programmed their minds, always saying, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have health. God wants you to have this. That's true. God does. But God also wants you to be like Jesus. Jesus had heaven. Jesus had everything. Jesus gave it up to help somebody else. Jesus gave it up so that the Heavenly Father could use His body. Paul also suffered many things. God said, Paul, I've called you to show you the great things that you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. Paul said, and it pleased God to reveal His Son within me, the Son of suffering. When we do something for God, when we reach out to get something for God, it takes suffering. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. A mother, she doesn't bring forth a child without suffering. She doesn't bring forth a child without travail. A life doesn't come into this world unless a mother is willing to suffer and willing to travail. So then, God said, Zion, when you travail, sons and daughters will be born into the kingdom. When you travail, then sons and daughters will be born into the kingdom. What kind of man was Jesus? A man with a mind to suffer. What kind of man are you? What kind of man am I? What kind of woman are you? We're the kind that let us get on. Let us stay away from the word. Let us not stay too long. Preacher, don't take too long. My mind's everywhere. It's rambling around on my wife. It's rambling around on my baby. My mind is everywhere the whole time I'm here. I got a man on my left. The whole time he sits in service, his mind wanders around and he doesn't pay any attention. See, he does it almost regular in service. Then I've got other people that are concentrated all the time. Always concentrating toward what God is saying. To hear, to give the more earnest heed. This same man I find to always be carnal. I find out the devil's always toying with his mind. I find out that lust is always eating at him. Why? Because he won't give God a chance to program his mind. When God is speaking, he won't give God a chance to indoctrinate him. He won't give God a chance to overpower the lust that's in his members. Putting those things down. See, people need to pay attention. Like Peter said, look on us. Look on us. Keep your mind on the preacher. Keep your eyes in that direction. Don't be wandering around with your eyes and your mind and your head and everything else. Stop your children from wandering around in church. Stop them from doing it. And if the parents don't do it, then let the ushers stop it. See, mind, I'm dealing with your mind. God wants your mind. What kind of mind did Jesus have? He had a mind of God. He had a mind of the Heavenly Father. He had a mind to suffer. He had a mind of virtue. And because of this, he had power in his life. He had strength in his life. He had perseverance in his life. He became our chief example. See, their brain is being used by Satan to hinder the mind of Christ that's trying to speak to me, to the edification of your soul. Tonight, I should be preaching the deep mysteries of God, but I'm just trying to deal with the simple side of it, as to tell you what's being done to you and what's happening to you and what you need to do. You say, Brother Pike, I want to be used of God. Do you really believe that you're going to be used of God? Do you really believe that with your mind and the condition that it's in? Do you really believe that? You're not going to be used of God like that. You've got to get your mind in subjection. The Bible said every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. To be like Jesus on earth, I long to be like Him. Well, it doesn't matter all that much to me, Brother Pike. All right. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Let us go on to full reward. Perfecting holiness. Maybe it doesn't mean so much to you. Maybe it doesn't. But listen. Remember what I'm telling you. When you go to die, and you go to press your death pillow, it's going to be different. A man came to me. He sat there. He said, I have almost died. He said, I'll never be a hypocrite no more. I'll never be a hypocrite no more, he said. Never. He said, all these things that didn't seem to matter. Said, when I found out I was dying, every one of these things began to come before me. See, you may have a religious fervor. It may do to live by. But when you go to die, you're going to think. You're going to think. And you're going to realize what you've done by letting that mind run wild. Remember this, folks. I can turn up this glass of water, which I do frequently, because it runs out, so I put it back in. But I can take this glass of water, whatever it would be, whether it would be water, whether it would be whiskey, whether it would be beer, whether it would be wine, I could turn it up and drink it. That wouldn't defile me. That wouldn't defile me one bit. All of that that goes in, goes into the system and goes out the anus. Jesus said that purgeth all meats. That wouldn't defile me. But he said that which cometh out of the heart is what defileth the man. For out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts of adultery and fornication and lying and lasciviousness. He said of cheating, of an evil eye, of blasphemy. He said, and these are the things that defile a man. I preach against whiskey and beer and from indulging in strong drink as to wine or whatever for the simple reason that though it does not defile you, yet one thing it does do, it will get you into such a drunken condition like Noah when Noah was drunk off of the wine of his vineyard. It will get you into such a condition that you lose control of your mind. You lose control of your way of life. And then the heart begins to react. And the evil thoughts begin to come up. And then you find yourself being defiled. I preach against many things that people do in life as pertaining to the flesh. And they say, why do you do that? I say, you shouldn't cut your hair off short. You should have long hair. The Bible says so. I say that you should have your dress long. You should wear your clothing. You men should wear it loose and not so form-fitting in your silly way, like a silly boy melted and poured in it to project lust. Some of you just got to lift the weights and pump the steel and get your sleeves up to where they can see your muscles. I preach against a lot of things. Why do I do that? Because there are thoughts within the heart that has rooted that. That comes from a seedling. That comes from a root. That comes from something. When you sit in and watch TV, there's something in the heart that's craving that. If I go to drink water, there's something on the inside that's craving that water. And when you do these things, then you have it to pay for. I want to apologize for the heat. That is, the fans aren't running. We're back to the same old thing. The different ones that say they're going to fix it and don't even come to church half the time. And they stay out of church so much they couldn't hardly have a mind to do nothing for God, because they do it with a regularity year after year. But some of them should fix the things up there. They don't need to depend on one man anyway. They need to be fixed. But see, when I go to preach, it's hot. Them people, I'm sure, got uncomfortable. See, it's hot. And you're to blame, and I'm to blame for it. Because we don't have any time to do anything for God or God's house. This has been year after year. We don't do anything for God's house. We don't try to make it comfortable. So when men get in there and say, well, I'm uncomfortable. My little baby's uncomfortable. God bless your heart, you ride that little baby around everywhere. You haul it around on cold days and hot days and keep it in the car and leave it and everything else. And then you get in here with your old devilish mind and you use that little child to think I'm cruel and God's cruel and you need to get out of here and you can't stand it. God have mercy on you as a wretch, the wretch that you are. A devil working in your mind to hinder the services of God every time they come to people come together. And you drag them around everywhere. So then what do we need to do? We need a little bit of perseverance. You need to equip yourselves with a mind to suffer. Even if it's endure a little bit of heat. Long enough for God to speak to you. You need to get in and do something for God. You sweat out there. Sweat till your clothes are wringing wet. Women do it frolicking. Men do it. Making money. Laying up treasures. Paying on cars. Got to have something for the belly. But in the house of God, can't afford to do it. Oh, folks, I could preach on and on and on. But I try to have mercy on you. So, well, ain't you just as hot, Brother Pike? I'm just as hot. I'm running over. I'm running. The water's running out. I'm putting a little more in. You say, well, I can't get any. Well, there's some downstairs. I put some down there so you can have it. So then what is it? It is an excuse. The flesh. The devil has got a hold of you. The devil is in you, some of you. And the devil has got a hold of you. And the devil won't let you rest. Because the devil's got control of your mind. But if you was out there eating and drinking and feeding the belly, the devil would say, well, it ain't so bad. Have another one. Stay a little longer. You know? That's the devil. You're given to the devil. Jesus said you're of your father, the devil. That's why you do that. You hinder the work of God. You hinder the preacher. You hinder the kingdom of God. You live with us, but you're not of us. All that came out of Egypt, the Bible said they were not of Israel. But in Isaac shall the seed be called. That is, as to the faith and the word of God, this is what it's all about. And that, of course, folks, so we can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I'm very considerate of your little ones. I'm very considerate of you. I think more so than some of you are of me. But the thing is, whether you're in here or whether you're out there, God has turned on the heat. And He's the one that's got the heat going. And if we would learn to put a little air conditioning in the church like we have in our homes, we'd be just as comfortable. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But anyway, I believe this. I love you and I'm rude in speech, but not in knowledge. But folks, it's like them people that went out. I still say part of that was the heat. Because people that are in the world, they're not going to be uncomfortable. If you get to talk to them about God, you're going to have to serve them a milkshake. Or you're going to have to give them some tea. Or you're going to have to give them an air-conditioned place or a soft seat. They ain't going to listen. Because they can be out the swimming pools. They can be out to the lakes. They can be in the air-conditioned places uptown, drinking milkshake and eating goodies. So we need to remember this. I want you to stand with me. I'm just now getting started. So I better stop right here, I guess. You're a good audience. You're good people. I'm not scolding you. I'm not finding fault with you. I'm just saying this is a devilish thing that we are allowing to go on and on and on and on. And nobody seems to be willing to do anything about it, to help bring a little comfort. If you ladies would get down to business and do like Sister Essie done when Willie didn't respond real quick, we'd get that thing fixed. I saw Essie do like that, you know, and snap Willie to attention. See, if you ladies would say, look, I'm tired of this. I don't mind him doing it for God. But just because of your carelessness and our laziness, get up there. I'll guarantee you some of them would respond and we'd get the job done. As long as you ladies say, well, ain't my husband, you know, it's just going to be that way. All right, so then, I preach to you here a little bit.
And I'll just talk to you a little bit, and then I'll run off and preach to the people somewhere. We'll get off and preach to the people. If I can't preach to you, maybe I can preach to them. A lot of people around the different parts of the world wants to hear the gospel, and maybe I can preach to them. And just say a few things here from time to time, maybe to encourage you to go on, and maybe someday you might get hungry. Who knows? You might get hungry and you might really want to hear something. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I think it's so ugly for people to come to church and leave the church, the house of God, with a regularity. Service after service, I think that's so ugly. It's better that you stay home. I think it's so ugly to come to the house of God and go to sleep on the bench. You should have stayed home if you don't have no more interest in that. I've heard people say, well, I can't help it, Brother Pike. I notice the same people I never see go to sleep. When they're talking about making money, they're all full steam ahead and they've got the flow, and the other people can't hardly get in a word edgewise. They never seem to get sleepy. I think it's so ugly that people leave church early. They always got to slip out early. Brother Pike, he understands. I got a long ways to go. I got things to do. He understands. Brother Pike don't understand none of it. I think you ought to stay and behave yourself. I do understand sometimes that maybe a person might have to leave early once in a while. I understand that a person might have to leave with the babies once in a while. I understand that somebody might have to get up and go to the restroom once in a while. I understand that somebody may be late once in a while. But people who just practice coming to church, I think it's so ugly. They practice coming to church real late, always real late. I think it's ugly. Somebody said, well, my job won't let me do no better. Well, you need another job. You need to think more of God than that. You need to shift around and get you another job. There's a whole lot of jobs in the world that will make allowance for that. Or you need to tell whoever you're working for that you go to church and that you're planning to be at church. Might be sometimes when you might not be able to be at church, that you have to be with them. But otherwise, you need to wake up. I got a number of people that come in real late. And sad to say, I got some of them that comes in just long enough to take part in the service. About like that, when they do their part, they're gone. I think that's ugly. Real ugly. I think it's ugly for these children to keep sitting on this front seat. What I've told you so many times about it. And with a regularity, get up and leave and mess my services up. I think it's real ugly of the mothers and the daddies. The daddy don't hardly ever come to church. That's one of the problems. He doesn't stay straight with God. He doesn't come to church. He doesn't run his household right. But he takes the benefits of what the saints of God has. That's where the problem is. No love, no concern. Always running everywhere, going everywhere, can be everywhere and do everything. But can't come to Bethlehem. So ugly. So ugly. Some that lives right here on the campground. Can't ever hardly come to church. Just once in a great while they come to church. Sit around on the campground year after year. I think it's so ugly. Down here on the parking lot. You get down there and you congregate before service. You could congregate anywhere. You could talk to people anywhere. But when the service is going on, you have to get down there and congregate. That's so ugly. That's so mean and contrary. Like Absalom. An old Absalom spirit. Somebody says, Brother Pike, what's wrong with you? You figure it out. I said, you figure it out. I think those things are ugly and ungodly, and God doesn't like it. The Bible teaches that when you come to the house of God, you ought to know how to behave yourself in the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. To love the Lord, to do the things of God.
Let's sing this little chorus together. I won't complain. I can't complain. It might be a muddy yard. It might be a muddy house. It might be a hole in the floor, a hole in the wall. It might be that you don't have an automobile and you have to borrow one. It might be many things, but I can't complain. And I don't complain because I thank God for the privilege of being a Christian and having a part in this wonderful thing. But folks, when it comes to the house of God and desecrating the house of God, and people just wandering around all the time with a regularity or sitting on the bench and sleeping, not paying any attention and have to get right on the front row to do it, and all of these other things, when it comes to God's house, God's properties, God's rules, God's regulations, then I complain. All right, let's sing a song. The Bible said, rebuke openly that others may see and fear and not do it. Rebuke them openly. Just to be like Jesus. Just to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him. Jesus turned over the money tables. He popped the whip. He drove them out of the sanctuary. He said, my Father's house shall of all nations be called the house of prayer. And ye have made it a den of thieves. For Satan is a thief and a robber. And when you give place to spirit, you make it a den of thieves and taking up offerings and taking up offerings as to a place of money changers. And Jesus said, Pharisees, scribes, He said, you're a hypocrite. He said, outwardly you appear beautifully, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones. You are an open sepulchre, and men unawares fall into it. Your mind is an open sepulchre, and men fall into your rotten mind, full of dead men's bones. He said, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And Paul said, and the wrath of God came upon them to the uttermost. Folks, if He did that to the Jews, do you think the Gentiles are going to escape? Do you think God is going to let the Gentiles escape, eat, drink, and be merry, seek after the things of the world, can't stand to be in church long enough to even hear a few words from Christ? No hunger, no thirst after the things of the world, but the belly is hungry all the time. Every time you meet them, they're going to get a milkshake or a hamburger and growing bigger and bigger and bigger. An old glutton devil already defiled the temple of God, already beyond moderation, already broke the law of temperance, on their way to hell from eating. The Bible said, let their table, David said, let their table become a snare unto them. Gotta go to work 8 hours and 8 hours and 8 hours and 8 hours. But the house of God, no time for God, no time to think on God, no time to spend at the house of God, no time to work on the things of God, no time, no time, no time. Grind at you with their own devilish attitudes and minds and spirits because you come against it instead of cleaning their system out. Like an old possum eating the rot, like an old buzzard eating the dead dogs, feeding off of the filth of the world, and then coming to the house of God and spewing it up and vomiting it up. And God said, all of my tables are full of vomit.
said, when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear. Faith by the hearing, that is by the voice and the word of God, rather than to give your thoughts and attitude and opinions and words as to that of a fool, the Bible said. To listen, to conduct yourself that the way that is right in the presence of God. Going out into the world, forgetting everything you've been taught, right back to the old rut. But you know what? You need to listen at me, folks. Could be you, could be me, could be your loved ones. But already the Lord has made us to know that there's going to be some more decease. Little Bethlehemites is going to be planted in the ground. Could be me, could be you, could be your children, could be somebody. A lot of times, maybe we know and we don't say. More to be planted. Got to get home. Got to make a dollar. Got to get where it's convenient. But did it ever occur to you that it might be your last trip? It could be your last trip. You need to consider God. You need to give God a little chance, a little time. You need to do something around the house of God. Make it a little more convenient for God. Instead of every man turning to his own way and looking to his own quarter for his own gain. Going out to do his own thing. You need to think it over. I'm telling you like it is. Count the times I've told you. Count the times I've told you. Count them. See if any of them failed. If every time it didn't happen. Fixing to happen again. It was just telling me that Brother James Ezra, Brother Ellis died. James Ellis was here. Fine person. I don't say it against him because he was a fine person. I really loved him. But James stubbornly and rebelliously got up numbers of times right here and walked out. Went off and said things he should never have said. And then got scared just before his death and came up here and begged apology. And I knew that he knew he was dying, the reason he did it. Folks, it won't work. I tell you in the name of the Lord, you can apologize all you want to. When you press your death pillar, you think you're going to die, God isn't going to receive it. You can say, I'm sorry I didn't do this, and I'm sorry I didn't conduct myself right in church, and I'm sorry that I didn't make my children do right, and I'm sorry I didn't do right on the campground, but God isn't going to listen at it. I tell you the truth, so help me God, he won't listen at it. Either I'm a liar and have my part in the lake of fire, or he won't listen at it, and you're going to go to hell. Deathbed repentance ain't no good. I tell you that over and over. The man that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. I don't know whether this that I'm fixing to say is right or whether it isn't right. I get so many reports. But they tell me that Dr. Akers up here in town, Acreage, I guess that's his name, Akers or Acreage? Acreage. Okay, I understand that he committed suicide. All right, so then, deathbeds are coming. He was a professional man, a doctor, supposed to have everything. You know, he's saying, somebody said, I'm sick, go to Dr. Acreage. Where is he at? In a hole. He said, you're mocking? I'm just making things real. Where is Dr. Acreage? Sick, go to him, he's in a hole. See, you run to him for him to do something for you, but who's going to do something for him? Come on, folks. You know what he should have done? He should have run to the preacher. If he should have run to the preacher, why should you should have run to him? They sent word for me to pray for him. Said he's missing. They wanted me to pray for him. Are you listening? But before I could pray for him, they sent word they found him, he was dead. Now listen. Somebody said, well, he probably didn't know. You don't think so? Maybe he didn't. Bill tells me he owns the station that I preach on with a regularity. I preach that with a regularity. He owns the station. We preach on it with a regularity. You think maybe he might have heard, he might have known? He could have. You love the Lord? I'm just telling you, folks, it's coming. Could be me. Could be you. But it's coming. I've already seen it coming. More is coming. Let's just close our eyes together. Lift our hands up. You see, we've stayed anyway. I could have went on and kind of finished out a sermon. We've stayed anyway. God always works it around the way you stay anyway. And you don't seem to be so uncomfortable. It don't seem to be so hot. As a matter of fact, it was just about that time that things was beginning to cool off. People used to stay till 12 o'clock when they went to church. That was just automatic in their mind. It was going to stay till 12 o'clock to be able to worship, to pray, to do something for God. Somebody says, "Oh my God, Brother Pike, well, what's so bad with that? You spend 5 days, 6 days, eight hours a day out there feeding the belly, doing nothing, walking around, doing your own mind. What's wrong with staying a little bit for Christ once in a while?" That's the reason you're not spiritual now. That's the reason you're so sickly now. That's the reason you've got the problems now that you've got. That's the reason your children are like they are. It's because your mind is not in God. You serve God with the mind. Just like those that walked out, if their mind had been in the right place, they wouldn't have walked out. '83 that moved around, brother. Think about that. Somebody thinks I exaggerate. It's one thing for sure. We got somebody that exaggerates more than I do, unless he knows what he's talking about. He said he counted 83 people. 83 people. I'm going to ask you openly. I told you this. I said, "Folks, if you don't stop the children, then I'm going to do something about it. And I'm going to do something. I want these little boys that's sitting right here on this bench to move to the back, to move to another place in the church, and don't sit here anymore, or stop getting up going with a regularity to the restroom when you are not needing to go to the restroom. I know that you're not. And sitting there half asleep and half caring, I'm asking you to do it." And not only these little boys that do it with a regularity, but some of the others. And I'm saying again, if the daddies and mothers would do something about it, it wouldn't be like that. And if the daddy would come to church enough to help the mother, it wouldn't be like that. Some of the rest of you are doing the same thing. Your children are constantly going and you don't do anything about it. "But I want this stopped. I put up with it for months now. Months and months. And nobody is going to stop it." So I'm telling you, little fellas, I'm telling you, if those men back here, Brother Jerry and Brother Floyd always doesn't stop you, they're supposed to stop you. If they don't stop you, Brother Pike's going to call you out by name when you start down through the trail. And I'm going to say, "Hey, little brother, whatever your name is, I want you to either go out of the church or come and sit down and behave." Somebody said, "You won't do it." Why don't you stay around and see? I come up under a red-headed Assembly of God preaching part of my raisins that he said, "Sit down." And he was red-headed and he had a way to say it that it, you just had a feeling you better do it. And he said to them outside, "Call the police. Let them pick them up." He didn't have disturbances in his church. He didn't have people wandering around in his church. Say, "Well, the old devil." No, he was a fine man. A fine man. All right. I love you. I don't want to hurt you. But you're not going to do that way in the house of God and me not say anything about it. In your home, you start rambling and wondering. And I know for sure that you get the side of the hand from the mother and she'll slap you and she'll grab you and shake you and the daddy will just about curse you out and make you do whatever in the house. Or get out.
But in the house of God, you mothers and daddies, let them run wild continually. And let them run wild on the campground. They do the same thing on the campground. They curse on the campground. They smoke on the campground. They speak bad things to the little girls on the campground. And sad to say, there's some little girls that speak bad things to them. I saw a letter the other day that a girl wrote. The Lord said to me, go pick up that letter. And I was nearby. I thought, no, that's somebody's personal thing. He said, pick that letter up and read it. Because it was on the properties here. I picked it up and I couldn't hardly believe what I saw of the dirty filth that she had wrote. No wonder the little boys are in the condition they're in. You know what it is, mother and daddy? It's your mind. You've eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. Them children are in that kind of condition. I purpose in my heart, I said, when I get back to the campground, the reports I've heard and the things I've seen and the things that's taking place, I'm going to deal with my people and I'm going to deal about the campground. They tell me that Brother Walden over there, that his campground is just completely wild. Because at the first he didn't hold any ropes on it or any lines on it. Said now he'd like to get it straightened out and he can't get it straightened out. And by the help of God, we're going to have some kind of system around here. Even if you get a letter to move, folks. I'm telling you from my heart. I can't help if it's my sister, my brother, my neighbor, my daughter, my son, my best friend. You're going to get a letter to move. When my son George Jr. sat out here, and he got out of sauce out here. I had him to write him a letter and I signed it for him to move. And you're going to be asked to move. Another thing I want to say to you. Somebody was talking about some of the people that was going to live down here on the campground. That they had been given permission and they're not even Christians. I want you to know they're not going to live down there. They're not going to live down there. They're going to be a Christian or they're going to do right. I allow some of them to come to your house and stay a little bit. When you don't do me right, you still let them bring their cigarettes in and do what they want to and you still don't stand up against them. And I allow to try to help you and you do me like that. But folks, we can get strict and we can pull a line. And we will do it. I've done it for numbers of years. And it's no problem me to do it. That don't set well. I can just feel spirits everywhere. But this is good. You need to show your color anyway. I need to see who you are and where you are anyway. This is a good way to do it. It's across your grain. Thank you, folks. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Another thing is, sisters and brothers, you cannot have people staying at your home because you've got a friend or a buddy, just because you want them staying at your home without going through the brotherhood and letting us know who's on the campground and what's on the campground and what's going on the campground. You can't do it. You're doing it, but you're not going to continue to do it. And another thing, you're not going to park on the campground, stay in your car, and men come and visit with you like they've been doing with some of them. Parking on the campground or parking out here or parking in front of the gate or anywhere else when you won't go get you a place to stay. When I've given you money and given you money and given you money to help you get a place to stay and gotten you a place to stay, you're not going to do that on the campground. You might as well to make up your mind. You're not going to force me to do anything, nor are you going to force the brothers and sisters to do it. You're going to come through the same channels that all the rest come through. Just like my George Jr. that wants to do something for God. It's like I told the brethren the other day and I told George Jr. I said the rules are the same for George Jr. or for Brother George Pike or for anybody else. I said the same system is here. Not trying to be hard, just trying to be thorough. This thing is getting clear out of order. So if you've got somebody staying at your house, you better immediately let it be known. I want to know who's on this campground.
and you're bringing all kinds of things in here. And my little daughters and my little children, my little sons and the spirit and whatever will be in a mess. You'll have their minds messed up and their little bodies all defiled, and we'll have a terrible mess here. We've had some of it before. Daddies that went off right here at the campground that wouldn't stay at their trailer. God revealed to me that corruption was going on in more than one place. And I faced a minute, and it was exactly that way. All right. You love the Lord? How many of you appreciate me trying to protect your daughter and little son in school and wherever? I'll be as lenient as I can with you. I'll let the different ones come and go. They come and go at my house. But folks, down at my house, I am a constant reminder. When Danny comes in and his shirt's unbuttoned, I say, Danny, you need to button your shirt. And Danny wants to run around in his t-shirt, I say, Danny, you need to put on a shirt. And like I told Danny the other day, I said, Danny, if you don't get in line and wear a shirt, you're going to leave this campground. You're not going to keep doing it. Danny got into serious trouble because he wouldn't do right. My brother greatest boys has got into serious trouble because they wouldn't do right. Some of you other men, your boys has got into serious trouble because they wouldn't do right. And your daughters have got into serious trouble because they wouldn't do right. We need to do right. All right. My, this is a strange altar call. Let's just lift our hands together, close our eyes. Mothers and daddies, you forgive me for being so plain with you. And as the Bible said, using open rebuke that others may see and fear. I wait for weeks before I do this, and I wait for months before I do this, and sometimes a number of years before I do this. And some of you have let the devil get into your mind and heart that you're just a hard-headed, stubborn person, that you're going to walk over me and walk over the brothers and sisters, and you're going to do what you want to do. No matter what I have to say about it, you're going to rebel and do what you want to do. But folks, I've got some news for you. By the help of God, you're not going to do it at Bethlehem. You're not going to do it at Bethlehem. Some of the men here that come to church, I wouldn't let them live here. God put them off one time. I was merciful and let them come back because of their companion and trying to reach their children. But they're so contrary. Some of my own relatives live right here on the campground, and they don't come to church hardly at all, and they've caused me problems ever since they've been here. Just like Abraham, Lot caused him trouble. They won't get in and work with me, and they congregate down at each other's house, and they sit and they talk, and they stay out of church, and they hinder others and bring others in. Here a while back, I had to stop a family that was coming over here with a regularity on this side of the campground by saying something to my relatives that was allowing it. And then had to stop something on the other side of the campground where somebody over there was making allowance for the same family because of gullible desire. The Bible said we use great plainness of speech. I love you. I don't want to hurt you. I'm not trying to offend you. But the Bible said in many things we offend all. Blessed is he that is not offended in me. While you've got your heads bowed, your eyes closed, your hands lifted up, I want to ask Brother Lynn to come and pray with us tonight. Brother Lynn's back from Alaska. He run into some hard people, some hard things. He had to stand up for some right things from what he told me. And while he's here, I'm going to have him to pray for you. And listen, folks, Brother Pike is not hard. If you come through the proper channels, then I'll work with you. But can you imagine somebody decides that they want to be a governor, they want to be a senator, so they just barge into the White House and they find them an office and they start doing their thing. and somebody else decides that they want the government to take care of them and they ain't going to work. So they park on the steps of the Capitol to force the president to do something. Bless God, I'll reproach you, somebody says, till you do something. It wouldn't make no difference to me if you stood on your head. It wouldn't make change my mind. When you come through the system, I'll give you the shoes off of my feet and take the bread from my table and do without God giving me the grace. But you trying to force me to do something by an old devil and me to give place to the devil, I ain't about to do it, now nor never. Somebody said, well, bless God, God will take you off the scene. Well, praise God, I'll go off the scene happy because I don't plan to do it. So you can conjure up your witchcraft and do whatever you want to. I'm still not planning to do it. You say it's not witchcraft. The Bible said stubbornness is as rebellion and the sin of witchcraft. You've been bewitched in your mind. All right. God bless you. God help you. All of you that love the Lord, stumbling along that needs help and strength, come through the system. I've asked God to send the poor to my house. We'll help feed you. Help give you a place to stay. Help protect you. But come through the system so we can ask you to do a few things and conform to a few things so as to keep Satan from taking over the campground. Otherwise, then we ask you to be on your way and do whatever you've got to do and leave us alone. All right, Brother Lynn, if you will.